This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Wednesday. It's great to be with you. A big thank you to everybody who came out yesterday to the petition signing. We had a petition signing to recall Governor Pritzker. We had a signing for a petition to get a woman who is going to be challenging Katie Stewart in the 112th District. Very excited to announce her coming up very soon. Excited to have a viable candidate in there to beat Katie Stewart in the 112th. It's one of those blue seats we can turn red. And some local races that are for coroner and for a Madison County Board District. There are so many people right now who are asking, where can I go? What can I do? And other people who are organizing these events and making stuff happen. It's kind of cool to watch stuff happen. And if you know, when you're watching these things and you're looking for things to be super organized, it's like you can either do it really planned out and really organized and you can have it happen 6 weeks from now, or you can put it together, you can see, you know, kind of work on the fly, improve in the moment, and see what you can come up with. Ryan, tell me about your experience yesterday when you were, like, you pulled up, you participated in the petition signing, just as somebody who showed up. What was your experience?
Well, I know that there are a certain number of signatures required for all these different races and different candidates and things. So I assumed that it was going to be like you were doing the other day. You were driving around just going to people's houses, you know, getting signatures and things. So I thought it was going to be pretty small scale. But when I got there, it was pretty big. There were several petitions to sign. People were very, very enthusiastic. Everybody was staying in the car because that's kind of what we're doing these days. But it was the line was much longer than I thought it would be. And then you say it was longer after I left or before I was there, one of the two. So that's great. And I had people texting me saying that they were there, showing me pictures of you. One guy texted me and said, here's your boss.
Here's it. I see.
Hey, where are you? Here's your boss. Where are you? And I said, I was there already. So yeah, it was
I'm not
much
Ryan's
better
boss. I need to publicly say here that I in no way, shape, or form am Ryan's boss.
But I am your boss, right?
I mean, that's we are all equals.
We're all each other's bosses.
Sure Katie,
so fun.
Pretty sure Katie is the boss because when she tells me to do things, I do it. That's just kind of how it works. So, but it was great. I met people out there, several people who came out and they're like, oh, I know Ryan Wiggins. Went to school with Ryan or whatever. And
oh, that's
other
cool.
People, some, Katie, there were some folks who showed up and wanted to take a picture of me. I didn't hear this, but they wanted to take a picture with me, kind of like a selfie through the car or whatever. And apparently they called me Katie. And they're like, that can't be the way. They messaged me afterwards. They're like, we're so sorry. We called you Katie. And I'm like, it's not the worst thing I've been called at all today.
Somebody else called me Ryan today.
Yeah. This other person said, hey, Wiggins. And I looked and it was just a disaster. But so thank you for everybody who came out. Again, I want to remind you before we get to our guest here that there is an event coming up, another recall Pritzker petition signing. This is kind of sweeping the state by storm. When we put these things out there, everyone's like, if I can't make it to this one, when can I make it to the next one? And this one is going to be this Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. In the parking lot at Piasaw Armory. So you can come sign a recall Pritzker petition. There's another one there for the Madison County Coroner. You can look up more information on that. It's at Piasaw Armory, which is at 3685 East Broadway in Alton, Friday, May 29th from 4 to 6 p.m. And I will do my best to come out and try to make that there. So this is the way this works. It says, we are pushing the easy button, park in the parking lot, stay in your car. Petitions will be brought to you. Yesterday when I showed up, the people who are getting the petition signs, they had masks on, some were wearing gloves. It's very responsibly done, and you can pull in, you can sign, and you can be on your way. Let's show up in a really, really huge way. And please join the Illinois Rising Facebook group that we've created. Join the Lincoln Lobby Facebook group that is part of the Illinois Policy Institute. And these are great ways to be active. We're starting to see some of this energy and this frustration being put to action in a really big way. As I said yesterday, line wrapped around the block to send a message to, I would say Springfield, but since the governor is usually in Chicago, apparently he's in East St. Louis today, Pritzker needs to pay a little bit more attention to downstate, and we're going to make him do it. Let's get to our guest. Adam Schuster of the Illinois Policy Institute joins us now. You can find out more online at illinoispolicy.org. We got a budget this weekend, and I have a feeling that it's like a lot of the other budgets that have been signed, or passed, I should say, in Springfield. Adam, what can you tell us? What do we need to know?
Well, first of all, I would use the word budget very loosely when we're talking about what they just did. It's really just another unbalanced spending plan. This will be the state of Illinois' 20th consecutive unbalanced spending plan, but in a string of just really irresponsible, spending plans passed by our state legislature, I think this one really takes the cake. And frankly, I think it's an insult and a slap in the face to every business across the state that's been shuttered, every taxpayer who's out of work, because us in the private sector, we have to balance our own budgets. We don't have a choice. And many people are struggling to do that like they never have been. They never have before. And the budget that just passed in Springfield, they didn't even make an attempt to really make it even appear balanced. There's not even the type of, gimmicks and tricks and things that they would usually include. And certainly no spending reform whatsoever. It's the largest budget in our state history. It spends more than last year by about 6%, and it spends more than the governor even proposed in February by about, $780 million. And then lastly, it includes $5 billion in borrowing that they're hoping they can repay with a federal bailout that doesn't even exist yet.
It's really, really something. You'd think that they'd stop shocking us, but I don't know. I guess that maybe we wouldn't. The pay raise that is being politically talked about all over the state, it's not as simple to say that the Democrats showed up and said, we want a pay raise, and they're like, check it off the list. We'll put it in there. We're getting a pay raise. Do you have any comments on whether or not what was passed this weekend did help raise the pay of the Democrats and the Republicans, but the Democrats are the ones who voted for it?
Yeah, so it's a little bit complicated, and you'll see there's a lot of conflicting claims out there. Republicans are saying it did include the pay raise. A number of Democrats are saying that it didn't include the pay raise. Basically, what the argument boils down to, just so everybody has all the information here, is in the budget, they appropriated, they put in the legal amount for salaries for lawmakers the same as last year, and next to their cost of living adjustment, they put $0. Now, that allows them to claim that they did not include a pay raise in the budget. However,
I like the way
if you actually
said,
look,
claim as if there's more to the story.
So there is a little more to the story here. So back in 2014, there was a dispute between former Governor Pat Quinn and the legislature where Pat Quinn had tried to freeze their pay. And in response to that, the legislature made their own pay a continuing appropriation. And what that means is the law says no matter what the budget says, they have to get their annual cost of living increase. Now, from 2014 through 2019, they included a specific paragraph of legal language to prohibit that cost of living adjustment. They did not pass that language this year. So even though they put $0 next to their COLA, the vast majority of people who are looking at this seem to be in agreement that because they didn't include a specific prohibition on increasing their own pay, that it'll automatically go up by about $1,800 a year. So it's really just adding insult to injury when we've got, you know, 1.1 million Illinoisans out of work and, you know, businesses are making 20% of their regular income. Springfield, once again, thinks they get to play by a different set of rules.
Adam Schuster, Budget and Tax Research Director at Illinois Policy, on the phone with us. Adam, I think because I'm probably on this show, people are asking me questions right now more than ever. So, you know, there's a lot of energy out there. What happens, you know, when we see these budgets that don't get balanced ever and we keep going into more and more debt? Are there any ramifications for these things? It seems like we're never sort of seeing the end of it. What happens when we keep doing this?
Well, that which can't go on forever won't. Right. So, you know, Illinois ultimately will not be exempt from financial reality. And if they keep doing what they're doing, then it's a matter of time before the pension system goes broke and before the state of Illinois starts defaulting on its debt. And, you know, we've already seen all types of negative consequences from this irresponsible behavior over the last 20 years. Taxes continue to go up. Meanwhile, spending on services that people actually want and need in the state continue to go down. But what I hope will happen here is that this will be a wake-up call to the federal government. You know, the really ironic thing is they're relying in this budget on a federal bailout, but this budget shows exactly why they do not deserve a dime of federal taxpayer money until they make significant reforms. So we think that, you know, this should send a signal to the federal government that Illinois is holding its hands out, begging for money, saying that they, you know, they need help. And meanwhile, they didn't cut a penny of spending other than for education, by the way, which we can come back to. But they didn't hardly cut a penny of spending. They increased spending overall. They're borrowing $5 billion and they're holding their hands out to the federal government. They included no structural reforms. So the federal government should say to Illinois and to other irresponsible states around the country, you're not going to get a dime of money until you commit to making significant reforms to get your fiscal house in order.
Adam Schuster, Budget and Tax Research Director at Illinois Policy, you know the numbers way more than you could potentially even explain to somebody as simple-minded as myself when it comes to what is facing the state of Illinois financially speaking. So anecdotally, yesterday I was out during this two-hour petition, just kind of bringing a voice to it, showing people what was going on through a Facebook Live. I was talking to public school teachers. I was talking to law enforcement. I was talking to people who are retired and living on a state pension. These are people who are sick and tired of the direction that the state of Illinois is headed. And I want to ask you for a second to speak not to what often ends up happening in this argument. The Republican-Democrat argument often is trying to be rooted in the public sector versus the private sector argument. In my opinion, the taxpayers are made up of public sector and private sector workers. When you look at the future of the state of Illinois, and I'm seeing these people come through and sign this petition yesterday to recall this governor who are receiving state pensions right now or will be receiving them in the near future. If we don't take a sharp turn in a different direction, what do these public workers have at stake?
Well, I would say, you know, if we don't fix things proactively and upfront, then it's almost like if you let a health problem, you know, continue to fester without treatment, the medicine will have to be more severe the longer we wait to fix this. So if we don't, you know, proactively fix it ever, these pension systems are going to run out of money. It's a matter of when, not if. We've done analyses, and it really depends on how bad the investment losses turn out to be from this pandemic. But ultimately, the benefits that they've promised and the benefit structures that are in place right now are not sustainable. They cannot be fully funded. So people are at serious risk of losing their pensions in the long term. So, you know, there's this common phrase that, you know, the public sector unions like to use, that that pensions are a promise. Well, right now it's an empty promise, because unless it's a financially sustainable, solvent system, you don't have a secure retirement to begin with. And not only the pensions, but whenever, you know, that which can't go on forever stops going on, they're going to have to make severe changes if they don't fix it now. And that could mean layoffs, it could mean pay cuts, and that's going to be bad for the public sector. It's going to be bad for, you know, needy Illinois residents, the poor, college students, people with long-term disabilities and the like, who rely on government services. So, you know, it's time for Springfield to get serious about this. And this is not a serious budget. You know, it was the worst that I've seen in the years that I've been following this. And there was really, you know, no attempt to even kind of give a wink and a nod to fiscal responsibility.
Yeah, it's time for a change. It's time for a humongous change in the state of Illinois. Otherwise, we're not going to have any other choices left. Adam Schuster, IllinoisPolicy.org. Folks, if you are newly interested in what is actually taking place in the state of Illinois and the fiscal situation is at the epicenter of your concern, taxes, spending, who's spending what taxes that they take out of your pocket, you have to go to IllinoisPolicy.org and see things that are based on numbers and facts. That is a safe place to live, numbers and facts. You can also, if you want to join the Lincoln Lobby on Facebook, is a great group that is discussing things and has done some great activism as well. So join the Lincoln Lobby on Facebook. They'd be glad to have you. And Adam, we're always grateful for your time here on the show as well.
Thanks for having me on.
Yep, for sure. IllinoisPolicy.org is the website. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, you can give us a call, 314-241-9797. Katie's got a poll here. 1 in 5 teachers react to coming back, maybe, yes or no, during if school is to reopen. This mm-hmm. What is this? You're going to tell us when we come back. It's a USA poll. So much stuff is up in the air. So much stuff, including Disney World being open again on the Pixie Dust Podcast Facebook page. Erica and I are going to be going live right after 3 o'clock, and we're going to give you an update on what was announced today at Disney. And we will take your questions as well and take them live in that conversation. So you can join us in the Pixie Dust Podcast. Ryan says he's got some questions for Erica too. Maybe you can get on and field your questions with Erica.
Okay.
And then, during that conversation on the Facebook page, we'll take your phone calls and we'll get an update on that poll as soon as we come back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Katie has got some breaking Illinois news here.
Well, okay.
Katie, wait. You know that Illinois town hall thing? I'm like, what are you talking about? My town hall? My town hall is tonight on our Facebook page. Unless Katie tells me otherwise. Illinois State Representative Toni McCombie, she's from the Quad Cities. She's a Republican. She's in charge of the... The House Republican Organization, I think is what it's called. She's great. I really enjoy Toni McCombie. She's a Northern Republican and she is a conservative, and she and Blaine Wilhauer, who's been on our show many times, he's from down here in Southern Illinois. We're going to talk from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock about what is going on and take your questions, whatever they are. So you're going to get on the Facebook page. You can go RSVP right now to our town hall and participate, because I would love to have you there. Katie, what are you doing for the state of Illinois these days? What have you done for us lately?
Are you doing 8 hours of content like Brian Kilmeade over here?
You know, I feel like Brian Kilmeade, except for the fact that at the breaks, I know not everybody here is in love with Disney World, but we've been wondering if our vacation is going to happen, and we're supposed to be traveling at the end of July. Ryan had a trip booked at the end of May and was waiting, just kind of bracing himself. You had to have your trip canceled.
We're supposed to be there this week, right now.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's the worst. And so then Disney announces today that they're going to open on partially on July 11th and then the other parks on July 15th. We're going at the end of July. So we're going. We know we're going to have to wear face masks, but we don't know the details of it. So like in between segments, my husband's coming in here and he's like, now I read this and now I read that. So I'm just like, my mind is like,
all
ping pong
places.
Game right now, mm-hmm. going all over the place, and I want to talk about all of it. So we're gonna do. So I'm gonna do at 3 o'clock. I think it's scheduled at 3:10 p.m. on the Pixie Dust Podcast Facebook page, which we just started. It is just getting ramped up. So please consider go giving us a like there. We're gonna do a Facebook Live on that page to talk about Disney opening, and then at 6 o'clock, I hope that I'm gonna be able to successfully shift gears and not get my wires crossed. And I'm going to talk to Toni McCombie and Blaine Wilhauer about Illinois politics. Or I'll mix them all up, and that's a train wreck, and everybody loves to watch a train wreck. So
just do the town hall in the Mickey voice.
Okay. What's the matter with the state of Illinois? I wish my husband was down here. He does a really good Donald Duck.
Does he?
Yeah, I can't do it, but he does. I don't know if he would publicly do that, though. But yeah, he's good at it. So, Katie, what are you doing for Illinois? What do you know?
This is what I know for now. So, there is going to be a live virtual town hall meeting that's happening tomorrow at 7 p.m. with both Illinois U.S. senators as well as mayors from towns all across the United States, or not the United States, excuse me, the state of Illinois. And it's going to be airing on KPLR. And I don't know why I just saw this pop up. And I'm like, man, did Annie mention this already? I don't know. And I was thinking, like, that's
she talks so much, and I only listen to about 52%. I could have missed this. If I say it, will she be mad at me? Because she gets real ragey.
I was sincerely thinking, like, did I miss this? But I think it might be breaking news that just happened at about 2 o'clock. So
that's not the one that Annie's hosting.
That is not
the one. Am I hosting that one?
Not that I'm sure of.
Not that we know of.
Okay. I'll show up at KPLR and just see.
It's supposed to be a one-hour virtual town hall. So we have yours tonight, which is super exciting, at 6 p.m. And then tomorrow.
Mine will be better.
Yeah. Oh, my God. 20 times better. Are you kidding?
It's unprofessional of me to say.
No. It's going to be great.
I will unbiasedly judge both of them.
Okay.
And then know that you are on the show with me every day.
And then you will flatter me and lie the next day.
Yes.
Wow, Annie, wonderful. You really hit the nail on the head when you were asking Blaine that question about his favorite ride in Magic Kingdom. No, but really, what do you think about the Mine Train? Is it better than Haunted Mansion?
Yeah, the anger in Illinois is palpable, and you really captured that the other night, Annie. Great job.
I say on the podcast quite a bit that legitimately doing the Disney World podcast is cheaper than therapy. Mm-hmm. Like, for me to do what I'm doing here 15 hours a week, and then tonight at 6, and yesterday being at a petition signing and going all over the place, I'm very passionate about this. This is something that I would be working to do outside of whatever my other real job would be if I didn't get to do this for a living. But it is taxing. Mm-hmm. It is a mentally taxing thing. So for me to have the hobby, it is a hobby. I know that it's not important to everybody, but it's my hobby. And if it's something that you might be interested in, then join me. If it's something you're not interested in, then do something else. Listen to something else. Katie, I want to talk about this poll, this USA poll, Today poll that you have. Tell us about this, because my husband's a teacher. I hear a lot of chatter about what is coming in the fall, what's not coming in the fall, and what people are not looking forward to. So what's the USA Today poll say?
It says 1 in 5 U.S. teachers say they are unlikely to return to in-person teaching if schools reopen in the fall. This is the USA Today poll. The survey found that 25% of teachers 55 and older say they are unlikely to return this fall for in-person classes, hinting at the possibility of mass resignations. About 2/3 of teachers say they haven't been able to properly do their jobs, as educators. And
was that editorial? Was that a well-timed
a little tickle in my throat?
Why don't you
do
like
their jobs?
Jared,
my husband's just rolling his eyes right now. Probably fell on the floor. Put him back in.
And Katie Ryan's wife. I can't forget about her either.
For sure.
Katie Ryan's wife.
Okay, they haven't been able to properly do their jobs as the education system has been transferred to online classes due to the coronavirus. Parents are also wary of sending their children back to the classrooms, with almost 6 in 10 saying in a separate survey they will likely pursue at-home learning options. Is that wild to you guys that people are considering, teachers are like, I don't think I want to go back to the classroom?
Yes.
You think it's wild?
I do. I'm really surprised.
So are they saying that they would just get a new career?
Yeah, they're going to resign and most likely get a new career because they don't want to be doing in-person teaching.
Why does that surprise you?
I don't know. I mean, just deciding right now.
You're shocked and you don't know why?
Well,
if you're going to garner a reaction of surprise, don't you need to?
Surprise? I don't know. I really thought about it.
It was mind-blowing. What happened? I have no idea.
No, I mean, you're jumping. That's a lot of people to be jumping out of a career and into a new career. I guess there's probably a lot of people who are on that bubble anyway, because there are a lot of teachers who jump into that field and they realize within a few years, this probably wasn't for me.
Here's what I think. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it. I haven't thought about it. So.
I think that what is, or not, I think what is shocking is that I believe that percentage of any field is reconsidering if they want to do that. Think about the fact that you've been removed from life as you know it, even if your life stayed the same, even if you were a delivery driver, if you were an over-the-road truck driver, and you realize now how clear the roads have been, Katie, and how nice it is to have the road to yourself, Katie, and now all these darn people dare come back on your highway, and it's stressful, and you realize the traffic really stresses you out, and it was nice to not have to deal with that, and maybe that's not good for your health anymore to be putting yourself in that situation. Like, we are all going, we all have been assessing everything. You know, like, I'm thinking about right now, when all the sports start up for my kids, mm-hmm. and I'm going to be running all over the place. I mean, Katie, you've said to me many times, you're like, Annie, I do not know how you do it.
Because I'm
going in 8 million places at one time. Until this happened, I would look at my calendar at least 20 times a day just to see what I had to do next. It wasn't because I was worried about something. It was because I did not have the capacity in my mind with the changing schedule of every day to always know what was going on. So I have my phone. It has my shared Google Calendar in it. Everybody in my family has a color-coded Google Calendar, and we all have it all on our phone. And I need to know when to, you know, I've got 3 kids in school now. They're all going different places. And I have to make sure that I adequately perform my job, that my husband teaching, where he was teaching about 40 minutes away from our home, so he wouldn't be close by in the need. Like, I was the one who dropped the kids off, picked the kids up from school, would take them from point A to point B until my husband got home, and then maybe we'd switch kids. Like, that right now is exhausting sounding to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been asking myself, like, do I want to go back to that? The answer is I absolutely don't. But I absolutely want the things that I would be removing from my life back in my life. I want my son to play baseball. I want him out on a field where he can play a baseball game. He's 10. This is a precious year. I want my daughter to be playing the spring YMCA volleyball league. I love the YMCA sports. I love what the YMCA offers my family because they give them a chance to go out there and try. And it's not something, you know, when you're 7 years old and you're going out onto a volleyball court, and maybe you've done it once or twice before, but when you go out on a volleyball court and a ball comes over the net and it's coming at your face, you got to decide whether you want to try to play the ball, get hit in the face, or get out of the way. That's a life lesson that pushes you forward. It's educational, and the YMCA gives them that opportunity. They're not open right now. So I coach that volleyball team. Do I want to dedicate my time to going and coaching these kids and being at a weekly practice and a weekly game and a baseball practice and hitting practice and baseball games? And Evelyn, my 3-year-old, she's 4 now, just, you know, bossing us around the whole time and having to tote her everywhere I go. Like, it's a lot of work. I have to choose whether or not that's the life I want going back. And the truth is, yeah, I do. And I love broadcasting from home. I miss seeing Katie. Mm-hmm. I would like to maybe do hybrid of both. I'm missing Ryan too. I didn't mean it like that, but I miss being in the studio, and we'll all be, you know, figuring that out down the road too. But if you're in a profession right now, there's no way that you haven't over the course of this entire time thought, do I want to go back to that? Like, this is going to end, right? And when it ends, do I prefer this or do I prefer that? Not the, I can't go into Walmart without a face covering. Not I can't bring my family into an Applebee's to eat. It's the stuff that you can control. And so teachers, like I said, like you were saying, there are teachers who are going to be assessing that anyway. Mm-hmm. They realize, nah, this really wasn't for me. I'd actually be much happier doing
something
that
else.
Thing mm-hmm. or trying my hand at this thing. So I think that number is reflective of teachers, but probably close to that same percentage. Did you say it was 25% or 20?
Yep, 25%.
Mm-hmm. 25% of anybody in any profession right now is going, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's always happening. It's just that this will probably cause it to happen en masse. Mm-hmm. So there'll be a lot of shuffling between industries for a lot of people, which I guess is good if it's all happening at the same time. There'll be openings in certain areas and people can move into those openings.
And it might encourage you to make a career change in the middle of life that'll make the second half of your career much more enjoyable, to make you to actually consider taking a risk and going to do something else. So interesting, though. I wonder if there are people out there who have had that thought process, saying, "Yeah, I'd like to retire earlier. I think I would like." Maybe you were out of work and you realize I actually enjoyed work. Maybe you think you want to work longer, change careers. You can give us a call, 314-241-9797. Ryan, what did you want to say?
80%. Is that about where you'd like to return to? Like, is there a certain amount of things you'd like to cut out when everything inevitably gets back to normal?
It's not quantity, because no? It's just being a parent. It's just three. You know, I'm not gonna regulate what opportunities my kids have. When I have three kids, with each one, your commitments grow exponentially, and I'm not going to limit. As long as they are committed to what we're doing and able to meet the expectation that, you know, if you're on a team, you have to be there with your team. You don't get to say, well, my mom didn't want to take me to practice, and you're one of 10 kids on a lineup, and now they're down a kid. You know, as long as we can commit to it, I want to be able to go back.
So. My wife said something very profound the other day. She said, I always felt as if I had a pressure to be providing experiences for my kids, and that pressure has been removed. It'll probably return, but I just wonder to what level she will accept that pressure again. So
I think the thing that moms often get confused on is the definition of an experience. I think that the time together, like I really can't wait. I can wait, but it'll be very interesting in 20 years to ask my kids what they remember about this.
Yeah.
They might remember it as the most awesome time they've ever had. I don't know. Or maybe it'll be the worst time they ever had, and my dreams will be shattered.
I don't know. I haven't thought about it.
Let's take a quick break. 314-241-9797. What quarantine? What are you even talking about, Mom?
What's that?
We'll be right back. 314-241-9797. Give us a call. Don't go anywhere.
Better
off. Do you think wearing a mask projects strength or weakness?
Leadership. What it presents and projects is leadership. Presidents are supposed to lead, not engage in folly and be falsely masculine. It reminds me of the guys that I grew up with playing ball. They'd walk around with a ball in their hand, but they didn't like to hit very much.
Let's talk about
better.
Okay. They didn't like baseball, eh?
It's funny because if you see the video of Dana Bash, it's almost like she's waiting for him to continue his point, and she just doesn't understand. She looks at him. I feel for her because I've interviewed people before where I'll just be real honest with you. Sometimes I have other things going on that I'm trying to, you know, queue up another question or something. And maybe for a hot second, I lose my direct and undivided attention with somebody. And then they like suddenly stop and you kind of look, and then you're like, ooh, do I follow up? I don't know how to follow up. Let's ask a different question. She just stares at him like, I have no idea what you're saying. And I am going to go elsewhere. Some of the replies to this tweet, Britt Hume had retweeted this, is where I saw it. And this person says, like my grandpa used to say, no matter how high a crow flies, a hammer still breaks a window.
Yeah. That sounds like something Joe Biden would say.
It's weird. And some people are suggesting he's talking about football. Some people are suggesting he's talking about baseball.
No, I thought his point was actually valid. He just stopped suddenly.
So why is it that you like Joe Biden so much?
I just like his policies more than anything.
Do you know what you are?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you follow him long enough, you're going to know that he's for basically everything that's not Trump, and that's why I like him.
Like what you just said, Annie, about...
Can you promo that? We'll just leave it.
Yes, perfect. What you just said about Dana Bash's face is almost exactly what happens with every single person interviewing Joe Biden. Like, they have a pause, and every single one of them just sits there to wait and to see if he's going to finish or if that was it. And then they love him so much that instead of calling him on it and being like,
I don't know if they love him so much. They need him so much.
Exactly. Let me clarify. Need him.
Isn't
exactly
there a difference?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's exactly it. And so they just move on. Let's go to the next thing.
And I'll say, too, that interviewing Donald Trump has got to be just as difficult because he uses no periods, no end of sentence indicators.
Absolutely.
He says and but 1,000 times. Well, I remember when we would be covering some of his earlier, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, some of his press conferences or his interviews, And we'd be taking it live, and we'd be blowing through commercial breaks because something he was saying, it was impeachment, it was the Mueller report, blah, 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 blah. We would like, every time we thought he was going to stop talking, we would kind of lean in and we would go, nope, not yet. Okay. And I mean, it would seriously go 6 or 7 minutes longer.
Oh, yeah.
Before we would give up. And that hasn't changed. He still is in such command mm-hmm. of sucking up the oxygen out of the room. It's a smart political tactic. I mean, if you ever listen to a politician who comes on this show, I'll ask them questions, whether they're on, you know, my side of an issue or against my issue. A good politician answers the question in a roundabout way, but takes up an enormous amount of the percentage of time making some other point so that they don't have to sit there and answer a whole bunch of hard questions and give answers that are straight to the point. Those are sound bites. That's a mm-hmm. nightmare.
Mm-hmm. You know, the more I think about the baseball analogy, the less I do get it. I don't really know. I get the analogy. I don't know how it applies to face masks.
Do you think wearing a mask projects strength or weakness?
Leadership. What it presents and projects is leadership. Presidents are supposed to lead, not engage in folly and be falsely masculine. It reminds me of the guys that I grew up with playing ball. They'd walk around with a ball in their hand, but they didn't like to hit very much.
Those birds are the same birds in Mark Cox's yard.
They migrated.
It's the same track. Where's that? Yeah. Where do you get that Birds R Us track? I want that. It's so serene.
It is. It's very peaceful.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, the analogy itself makes sense within itself, but applied to face masks, I don't get it.
The most peaceful sound to you? Like, do you ever put sound on, music on, white noise or something on to relax? Katie, what? Is it the Jonas Brothers?
I'm laughing because I do this for my cat all the time.
You do what? You leave something on?
I put on serene, peaceful, like, music that they have on YouTube that's, like, 8 hours long of a loop of,
how,
like,
does your cat
a babbling brook and the birds chirping. And I put that on for my cat.
Does your cat like it?
Yeah, he loves it.
What does he do if you don't put that on?
Acts the same. Grumpy. I mean, he's grumpy.
Knocks stuff off tables.
Yeah, knocks stuff off tables. But I put it on because I'm like, I don't think he's, you know, he's not going to watch TV or anything, but maybe he'll like.
No, he's a cat.
These nature sounds. Maybe he'll like this. The birds chirping. That's my life, guys.
You're a good mom.
That's my life, guys. I don't have any kids, so I do that for the cat.
Does David put the same sound on for the cat if you're not home to do it?
No, it's just a psychological weird thing.
Do you think
that
would be ridiculous?
I do think that.
Does he think it would be ridiculous?
No, I do think he thinks it's ridiculous. But I do it anyway, because whatever, guys. It's life. We're
not hurting anybody.
Well, I'm not in quarantine anymore, but you know what? We were at
Ryan, what's your peaceful sound?
I think probably the sound of a child's laughter is the most beautiful thing that we could experience on this earth.
Why do you talk like that when you say that? It's real creepy.
The sound of a child.
Maybe you could do that promo instead and be our last promo.
Just cut that off and then leave birds chirping afterwards because it's probably not 15 seconds.
Give us the real answer to my question.
What do I listen to relax?
Yes.
There's a couple albums. Supergrass,
Rage
Road to Ruin
Machine.
Is one of them. These are things that nobody has heard. But everybody's heard a child's laughter. And it soothes us.
What makes you soothe, Danny?
1 minute.
What do you like to listen to?
Well, I tell you things that don't.
I got to admit, I used to do that too, Katie. When we didn't have kids and we just had a dog, we'd leave music on. Because
you'd leave music on for Katie's cat?
We'd leave,
Nobody's
taking care of that cat.
No one's taking care of Ollie.
Yeah, we would leave music on for the dog. I get it.
Why is Ryan Wiggins crawling out of our window? I don't know, but
Katie, the music is lovely.
Katie actually got this idea from some creepy guy who just kept coming in the house and taking care of a cat.
I don't like that he comes into the house. I love the crooning. Love the crooning and the soft guitar that he leaves.
Okay, Ryan, I want you to make
oh my god!
Serene YouTube videos for Katie's cat.
Okay, yeah, I'll do those things with the mouth noises that everybody loves. You'll love it, Annie.
For the cats, not for me.
Oh, not for you.
For the cat.
I'll break into your house and leave it on.
Just know that we are Second Amendment supporters, and I ask questions later. So right now on the Pixie Dust Podcast Facebook page, we are going to have Erica Murphy, Disney travel agent, and I are going to have a conversation about the brand new information about Disney opening. It's super exciting. Lots of questions continue as we figure out how this works. So go to the Pixie Dust Podcast Facebook page. You can RSVP to start watching the live in about 20 minutes, 15 minutes or so. And tonight at 6 p.m. on the Annie Fry Show Facebook page, Representative Tony McCombie and Representative Blaine Wilhauer will join me for a town hall, and we will answer your questions. So be there on the Facebook page. Dave Glover Show coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.